want to try and do, and probably end up spreading this out over 2 weeks. This is just half the packet. Okay. That I originally, you know, what I had put together. But the Torah has multiple lashonas about the purpose, the function of the makus. The Torah talks about uses the languages of Laman in order that, or other languages, which are the Torah, that we're teaching lessons. Okay, so. So the Torah says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was coming and presenting the makas, the first set of makas, Dam, Tzardeya, and Kinim, that Vidatem Kin. So here's a lotion: Laman Teda, Mizos Teda Kini Hashem. This is what's going to teach you. This will make you known to you. This is in Kapitel Zion, Pasuk Yud Zion. Mizos Teda Kini Hashem. These makas, the maka of Dam, will teach you that I am Hashem. You said, "Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Makaloi." Who's Hashem? You should know I am Hashem. Then the psukim before the next set. So Dam comes with the Hasra, and he's told this. Tzardeya comes with a warning, and then the Kinim comes without any warning. The next set is Adash Orav Dever Shkin. So again, the Orav starts with a warning, and the Bereshim says Laman Teda Kini Hashem Bekerav Oretz. So that's in Kapitel Ches Pasuk Yud Ches. Then before Borod. Okay. The Torah uses a lashon bavur teda ki ein kimoni b'chol oretz. So the first one is doesn't use a lashon of laman, but it says. Bezois teda ki ein Hashem. Okay, bezois teda. This is with this you will know. And the next one it says that in order to, that you should know Kini Hashem Bekerav Oretz, the Matida Kini Hashem Bekerav Oretz. Okay. The Matida Kini Hashem Bekerav Oretz. And before Borod, it says that Bavur Teda Kein Kimoni Bechol Oretz. So the Torah is clearly saying that there are different lessons we're supposed to take out from the Makos. Beyond that, beginning of Parsha's bow, the Bereshim says, "Why did I do this?" But the Matan Tavre bows. They mean, "Vidatem ki ani Hashem." Through the lessons, you will know that I am Hashem. Beginning of Parsha's Va'era. So we have the Dal Lashonis. That Rosham says, and then you will know that I am Hashem. Then I will take you into the Eretz Yisrael. So the different lessons and stresses, the lessons which are taking place over here in the Makkas. Okay, number one. Number two, the Makkas, the purpose of the Makkas is not to take Klai Yisrael out of Yisrael. Because the Russian could take Klai Yisrael out of Yisrael without any makas. As a matter of fact, he did. Or, right? I always had this, or there's a Targum Yonason in Parshas Bo. It says that, you know, that there's a disturbing makar of Kosh and Bechutz. So Korban Pesach has to be nikra by the you can't do it in a private boma. You have to do it in the Mizbeach of the by the Mishkan. He says, no problem. The Bereshim took all of Klai Yisrael the night of to Yerushalayim, and they shattered the korban there. and they ate the carbon there. Then he brought them back to Mitzrayim. Now, I can't really speak, but if I'd be there, my reaction would be like, no, I don't want to go back. Why am I going back to Mitzrayim? Stay here. I'm in Yerushalayim already. Stay. Right? So if the purpose, Russia's purpose was to get us out, he had us out already. So why are we going back? What was the purpose of that going back for? Like, to go out? So the purpose of the lessons has to be something, of Yisrael Mitzrayim, has to be something other than just, it was just a vehicle, an instrument to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, to get out of the time to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, because it can be done much more simply. So clearly there's much more to the story. Okay. So we'll look at a few things over here. The first piece over here is from Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichel Bracha. Has a sefer called Urei Emunah, which it's on the topic of Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, but with a Rambam's flavor, you know, not just, you know, it's a tremendous amount of depth to the sefer. Everything about the sefer, just it's like a whole different way of looking at, you know, thinking through the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So he starts off with this. He starts off with the psicha to Yud Gimel Ikrim. Okay, and this was, you know, these were shurim that he gave. These are direct shurim that he gave. Rabbeinu Rama Kabbal Alacha Hechushabuk Yeshke Yud Gimel Ikrim Shabbachayv Behechus Lhamin Behem. There are 13 elements of faith, foundations of our faith, which we don't have in Kedah Klonus Lechla Yisrael Yiyo Shayach L'Tar L'Mitzvahs. The person does not believe in these things. He has a Nirmah Kaifer, according to the Rambam, and he's not considered a person who's in the corpus of Klal Yisrael, because he doesn't have the correct Emunah. Okay. Makari Inyan Bish Mishnah, the source of this is a Mishnah. Be'elah Shein L'Mechel Kol Mabah, Hermer Ein Tchiyas Amesim in the Torah. So the Mishnah talks about a specific Emunah, which a person denies that Emunah, he doesn't have a Chayek Olam Haba, which means he's basically taken out of the body. Kol Yisrael Yesh Mechayek Olam Haba. All of Kol Yisrael has, and this person doesn't. So what's pshat? He's been taken out of the body of Kol Yisrael. So the Mishnah only says one. It's Chiyas Meisim in the Torah. But the Rambam understands, Pirush Mishnah Shvek Domus Perek HaPerek, there in Rambam's introduction to that Perek, here Chavetz HaInyan, the Rambam expands it. There are 13 yesodas, foundations to the Torah. Ubiyur Teichon Kol Yesod explains each one what it is. Maybe Bekor may Apsukim Alim Mitusam. Each one he brings a pasuk to support it. Okay, now, so that's like we started with one line in the Mishnah. The Rambam expanded it to 13, and based on Psukim, but it's like, it only first woke up in the Mishnah, it only first woke up in the Rambam. You know, there has to be something before that. Where does it have it in the Torah that these are, even if you say that the Rambam's derivation from Sukkim was that these items, that these understand, these points are true, right? But why these 13? There are other elements which are not there. And how do we know that these are, that without them, that a person doesn't have a status of being part of Klal Yisrael? Where do we know that this is the foundation of our Emunah and Klal Yisrael? That's not clear. The Rambam says, yeah, Hashem is Echad, because Hashem is Echad, Hashem is Echad. Okay, so that's true. There are other things which are about Hashem which are also true, which if I don't believe in them, I'm not a Kaifer. This point, it's primary. So how do I know that? Where did it come from? This is a Tzarech Beir. Who said there's such a thing as Ikrim Lamunah? Actually, you're talking the Kabbal Torah Biladei Echad Mehem. That this whole concept that there are Ikri Emuna, and there actually was some Rishonim who disagreed with the whole concept. We follow the Rambam, and this is Pesach Halacha L'Maisa. The Rambam, it's not a Musa Shmuz and Pirush Mishnayos. It's Pesach Halacha L'Maisa in the Yad. Yad Chazakah, but there were Rishonim arguing in the Rambam, and there are, I recall that there was, I've very very rarely, I mean, over the years, Rebbeinu Zatzal would have a speaker in the shul, and he would say something which that Rebbeinu disagreed with. He would not say anything. He wouldn't interject. You could see it in his face sometimes, like he didn't like that shtickle. But one time I remember he interrupted. A person got up and said, that the Rambam was Mechadish as the Yud Gimel Hikrim. It's not found really in the Gemara anywhere. It's not really found in the Mishnayos. It's not found in the Chumash. It's the Rambam Shita, and we don't have to follow it, and therefore even a person doesn't believe in all these Hikrim, he's still considered a good Jew. Right? And this is what the person gets up and says in the shul. Rebbeinu could not control himself. And he interrupted quite vociferously that this is you're going against the practice which has been accepted in 100 years of Klal Yisrael, that the Rambam has been followed, because you found the other words that were argued in the Rambam, but that they've not been accepted as the Klal Yisrael collectively has decided to follow the Rambam at this point. You have no right to pull those Rishonim out of retirement and say we can now decide we'll go back to those Rishonim and ignore the Rambam. You have no right to do such a thing. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, the answer was that this person, his whole approach to Torah is not built on Masorah. He denies all, you don't think, they did that, but that's not 500 years, but I can do it differently. That was like perfect him. And he has the yeshiva which produces, he's the Rosh Yeshiva, which is well known nowadays, producing a lot of rabbis, which are called open Orthodox rabbis. And that is this was a tremendous example of what he holds up. That, if there's one opinion, I can be smart enough to decide, I'm going to follow that opinion, and everything which has been followed. So that deserves a different conversation. But anyway, but it's a good question. But where did the Rambam get it from? And that's why some Rishonim actually argue on the Rambam. Menira, Shematar Malametis al Inyan Ha'ikrim Bekach. The place where the Torah tells us these points. Why does it play such a role in the Torah? There are multiple times. Why is it so important? Why do you have to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim? This is that. So not even that, so much I have to remember it, but you should know that I'm the one who took you out. It's important that you should know that. It's not a command to tell you to remember it. It's a fact. But it means, but tell me this is a fact. This is, I am your God who did this to you. Why are you telling me this? Who cares? Why is it important? That seems to be a defining element in how we relate to him. Okay. So the answer is that the Bereshit is saying multiple times that the relationship, which means the Torah, which is the expression of the relationship, is built on Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the answer is that the Rambam said, if I will comb through Yetzias Mitzrayim, I'm going to come up with 13 points. If that's true, now I know what the foundation of the Torah is. If I can look at the Pesukim and say the Torah is clearly defining that our foundation of Torah is built on Yetzias Mitzrayim. So whatever lesson Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to teach me, those are going to be the foundations of the Torah. That's where the Yud Gimel Hikrim come from. That's what Marcia suggests. So that, you could stop right now and say, wow, it's worthwhile to come tonight. Such a fascinating. He just opened up a whole new way to look at Yetzias Mitzrayim and where the Yud Gimel Hikrim come from. Why 13? The answer is because Yetzias Mitzrayim only had 13. It didn't have 75. What had 75 would have been 75. What had 4 would have been 4. It's 13. That's why it's 13. So it wasn't just pick and choose. Okay. So really, this idea really is not his; it's a Ramban. Kol Yigim Alikrim Nizgalov Hisparu B'Disayis Hisvitzrayim V'Nasi Yisrael D'Torah. The first dibur clearly says, "I am Hashem your God," which Rashi says, "What exactly is this statement about?" So Rashi says, until now, he was the. He says that now is the time we're going to start talking about what I expect from you. Anoch Hashem Elokecha is a command. I expect you to relate to me as your God. With that, that is what the command of the Dibur is, the commitment to the relationship to Kodesh Baruch. Accept, Rashi says, Kabo Malchusi. Now it's time to accept my Malchus. But it ties it into Asher Sechem Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Dibur is that Hutziva the Kabbalah Samuna, Yachinim Komashin Iskal Lobi Sisan. So the Muna that the Torah is commanding, because the Rambam said this is the Tzivri of a Muna. Believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But which Kodesh Baruch Hu are you believing in? What about a Kodesh Baruch Hu are you believing in? The Kodesh Baruch Hu that you know through Yisrael Mitzrayim. That's what you're supposed to believe. That's the, so the Mitzvah Muna is whatever Yisrael Mitzrayim taught you. That's the Mitzvah Muna. Okay. So the Ramban, in two places, really talks about this. The Ramban on the Pasuk Vanochi. Vadibra Zeh Mitzvah say, Omer Anochi Hashem. So what is this? What is it? Many mitzvahs, the language is a language of a command. Here's a language of a fact. I am Hashem, your God. Right? So, but it's no, it's a mitzvah say. It's a command that you have a responsibility to know and to believe that there is a Hashem, who Elokim lahem, and He is their God. Klemmer, so what does Anoch Hashem Elokecha mean? Hoive, He exists. He's an intrinsic existence. Kadmon, He always existed. Mito Hayakol, everything came from Him. Bechefitz, based on His decision, it happened through an act of decision of Kadosh Baruch Hu to create. And He has the ability to do that. And He is now your God. So you have to serve Him. Okay, so that is what Anoch Hashem Elokecha means. When we say Hashem is our God, in that phrase we mean He exists. He always existed. He has ability. He was the one who created the world. He did it with a conscious decision and the desire to do that, and everything came from Him. Okay. Now, the Ramban is continuing and saying, where did you learn that? Where do you know that from? Where do you get these ideas from? Because you see, Hashem taught it to you. Hashem exists. He took them out. It didn't happen by itself. There was clearly the divine, the Rosh Hashanah existed and took Him out. And He has an interest in this world. He's interested and He can do what He wants. It was announced beforehand. It was clearly orchestrated by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Means the Rosh Hashanah is interested and he controls everything. And now the philosophers had understanding when you grapple with the idea of did the world always exist, or was the world something which was created? And their assumption is they were willing to contemplate the idea there's a God, and there's a world which always existed, but they assumed that if the world always existed, God would not be able to intervene and change the world, because the world was there simultaneously with God. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu can intervene and do whatever he wants to the world indicates of the fact that the world is created, he was the one who created the world. If the world always existed, how can you change it? The indicates that Rosh has the full ability to do whatever he wants. If Rosh has the full ability to do what he wants, means he's the only one. Because he can do whatever he wants, means there's nothing else. Because if there's something else, that the other being would stop him. You saw this. These lessons that I'm telling you about, you know them. You learned them. Okay. So precious boy, before you says Chalke Emunah Meisparim Yitzitzim Tzom El Devorav. Okay. Kasher Yitzir Lekim Be'edo Be'yochid. When God desires a group, an Eda, or an individual, does for them a miracle, changing the world. He mentioned before, earlier in the piece, that there's an attitude that Hashem didn't exist, that Hashem existed, but he doesn't have the ability to change things, or that he's not interested in changing them. Right? Says, well, when these events happen, all of those thought processes have been proven wrong. Ki ha-mayvis ha-nifla mara, this wondrous act indicates she'esh lo'olam eloka mechadsha, the world has a God who created it. V'yodeya, he's aware of what's happening. U'mashgiach, and he's controlling it. V'yachla, he has ability to do whatever he wants. Kasher ya-mayvis ha-nigzor t'chilim li'pi navi. And then you add the fact that it was foretold beforehand through an individual, a navi. These barmy men are oil beat this on the wall. So we see that Barsham speaks to man. And we know that it's true, we know that it works. Somebody predicted it, exactly how it's going to happen. So we've basically given through this the foundations of the altar, the Rabban says. So this act of the Barsham intervening and creating all these changes, etc., teaches me all of these disorders. And that's what the Torah writes. That indicates that the Hashem Bekarav Oretz, you should know that the Bereshim is in full control. They had an attitude, the Bereshim created the world, but one opinion, the group said the Bereshim created the world, but he's left it, whatever. So how do the animals go exactly here and not there? How is that possible? Wild animals roam. So why did they roam into Goshen? No, because the Bereshit was controlling exactly. So that's Hashgacha. The Bereshit is not just whatever, leave it on its nature. The Bereshit is involved, aware, cares, and is in control. And, Bamar Laman Tehda Kila Hashem Oretz, Lahar Salachidosh, it belongs to Hashem. Kehem Shaloi Shabro Me'ayin. He created them, it's his. But Bamar Tehda Kehem Kemani B'chol Oretz, Lahar Salachidosh, the Bereshit has full control. He has total dominion and Maccabi. I don't know if it's stopping. What was that? How you Mitzrayim, Machishim, and Mitzrayim. All of these were questions the Mitzrayim were grappling with. In Kenya, Oyes is a Mepsa Magdala, Ma'idim, the Modim, Bemunas, Abari, Vatarakulo. Okay. So it comes out that the idea of taking Yisrael Mitzrayim as the foundation is because it's going to teach us the Bereshit is clearly in the Psukim of the Maccas. The purpose of the Maccas was to teach these lessons. So when we left Mitzrayim, we had a clear understanding that Bereshit exists. There's nothing like him. Nothing. He cares about the world. He's developed in the world. He knows what's going on in the world. He created the world. All these lessons are there in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now, Rosh Hashanah goes through the Cheshbon in the next piece. Rosh Hashanah goes through the Cheshbon of how all your Gimel are there in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the first five is pretty clear already. You know, that the Ramban basically spells out for us. Bereshit exists as the first dikur. That the Bereshit is full yachid means he's a yachid. That's the second one. He's a yachid. There's nothing else like him. The Bereshit is not a goof because a goof by definition limits a being, and if it limits him, so he wouldn't have full yachid. he changes the world. It means he makes out of the world. It means he exists prior to the world, and he'll exist after the world exists through him, not he exists through the world. So he's reaching an achron. And the command is, now serve me. That's, the Russian was asking for our direct service. So all of those are there in Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Russian foretold it beforehand. So that tells us that Emunah is true. And the Nevuah is true. Right? Russian is going to talk about how do you say Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was unique. He'll discuss that more elaborately. Skar v'Einish, the Russian rewards and punishes. I mean, that was pretty clear. Mitzrayim were punished. So we see the concept of reward and punishment. Okay? If we understand that when the Russian comes and gives the Torah, he says that the whole Torah is built on that these lessons, and we flip it around, means the purpose of Mitzrayim wasn't to take us out. The person doesn't want to give us these lessons. Why are these lessons important? Because they should be the foundations for the Torah that the Moshe was given. So that acts as a foundation for Torah. So it talks about, meaning Yetzias Mitzrayim is almost presupposing, the Moshe says that this is how you'll know Kinuch L'Shicho, when you take the Am Mitzrayim, Tavlos L'Kim L'Horazeb, that is going to be the culmination of what's happening. This is a vehicle for Torah. So that tells you Torah Minash Shemayim. So he goes to the those elements of the moon are there. The Yisrael Mashiach and the Chiyas HaMeisim are a little more complicated. So on the next page, page Gimel, Iker Yudbeis, Yisrael Mashiach, Kol Yisrael Tzitzrayim. So now, where? Shrei Omer, the Chiyas in the world, Lerman Yisrael, Shashmoy Yisborach, Hamiskala Lagarlam, who are Ekiyash or Ekiyah. So Rashi says, Rashi asks, what's your name? So he says, the name, I will be what I will be. So Rashi says, what do you mean, I will be? I will be with them. Rashi says, Eye imam b'tzorazu, ve'imam b'shibur asham. The same way Rashi was with us and cared about us and taking care of us and took us out of this shibur, he will take us out of the further shibur. That was the first thing the Rashi tells Moshe that he's supposed to talk to Yisrael. So it means, they're rooted in the beginning of the conversation about Yetzias Mitzrayim is that there's going to be more, and the Russian will deal with them as well. Mm-hmm. That's why the Pasuk uses Daf Yetzias Mitzrayim as the vehicle to describe what's going to happen in the future. So that's where Bias HaMashiach is there. He will actually bring a smack, says more than that. And then the last one, Chiyas HaMeisim, he says basically was Klai Yisrael came to recognize that through Kriyas Yam Suf, which was the final element of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm not going to do the rest of the piece right now. It really deserves more, but I want to take a look at the Ramban a little bit. I want to take a look at the piece for Rabbi Meir. On the Ramban. So it's on the. Don't ask me how to find anything in the packet. There you go. Okay, it's on page Kuflun Tes, the left column, four lines down. So it's bracketed. So basically, it's a piece. It starts off with the piece that Marsha quoted. Etc. That's the whole piece that Moshe quoted. So that he teaches you the Kiddush, etc., etc., etc. Now, Ubavur. So if you can go down about halfway down the column, the first word on the line, Ubavur. Everybody see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Moshe is not going to keep doing this again and again and again to teach you all these lessons. Therefore, because he sees the time as the foundation of everything, we have to constantly review it. Because that's going to be the foundation. And the Russian is not necessarily, you know, every time you're not sure, the Russian will, like, you know, send down some lightning to take care of it. And that's why the Torah is very machmir. We must tell the story, give it over to each generation. So the mitzvahs which are connected to that are very, very strict mitzvahs. There's a chiyuv koras. We wear tefillin. About the mezuzahs, we put on the mezuzahs. We say Shema, Parsha Tzitzis, Kasher Emes Yatziv the Raisa. Then it's not a sukkah b'chol shana. We have to make a sukkah. Many, many mitzvahs. All of this too is to enforce, to reinforce again and again and again that these lessons which Klai Yisrael learned Mitzvah Shasi Yitzray. Then he said like this. B'kol liyos lona b'chol daros edus ha'moifsim shal yishtachachu b'lo yiyah pisgum pe'el l'kar v'la hakish emunah salakim. It's going to take away the opportunity or undermine the opportunity for people to deny such a reality. Ke kainah mezuzah echad, person buys a mezuzah, costs him a coin. The cover of a piskoi puts it up on the doorpost. But he's kaven binyana. He thinks about what the mezuzah represents. The Rama's losha news, and you buy a mezuzah, every time you walk by, he says, you stop and you'll be misbarred about the Yichud Hashem, which is contained therein. Like that's how the mezuzah is supposed to be. It's not just sit there on the doorway, it's supposed to talk to us. Right? I know my wife spent the Shabbos once with somebody. He was a lot of Kabbalistic things. Friday night, he used to talk to the mezuzah.
What did he say?
He wouldn't tell you what he said.
He wouldn't just answer.
Right? But the truth is, the Rambam says that the mezuzah should talk to us. Right? So we should talk to the mezuzah. The mezuzah is telling us Hashem is Echad. So you're supposed to stop and listen. It's not very nice. You walk in the mezuzah, you ignore the mezuzah every time. The Rambam says the mezuzah is screaming at you, Hashem Echad, and you're ignoring it. The person buys the mezuzah, and he's been just as I spent, you know, those days it cost zuz echad, now it costs more than that, right? But he's coming. You know, car hoyde bechidah shaylo meydias haberi vashkechase. V'gam nevuah v'hemim v'chopinas hatar muvad. Right. So he has committed to. He believes in the Rosh Hashanah of the world. The Rosh Hashanah knows. The Rosh Hashanah controls. There's the nevuah, and all of the foundations of the Torah are all contained by that mezuzah that you spent your $25 for. Like, it's definitely a bargain. Mavacha had a chesed of very gold of Moirach, all its returns, she had sent him with some of the Lacheras, who covered God of the Liskas of the same, and Kavetsam Yerushim. And the Bresham loves us and takes care of us. I mean, like, Fiacha Omra, the Mizorba Mitzvah Kalaki, but Chamur, that's what Chazal say, take all the Mitzvahs very seriously. Shakul and Chamuris, the Chavimus, all of them are very important. Shakal, Bakal, Shosh, other Moide Behem, and Lakav. Each one is a vehicle to us to commit to and admit to the reality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the relationship that we have with them and the lessons of the Torah. What mitzvah doesn't teach you that? What mitzvah doesn't allow you to do that? The purpose of all the mitzvahs is to come to Muna and to praise Him that He created us. That's what the Russian wanted in the creation. The Rosham has no other purpose than the creation, the whole idea of creating man, the whole Bria, the whole. Why did Rosham create the world? What does he want? The Rosham has no interest in us. That the human being should come, we know, and then praise and thank the world that he created us. That is the purpose of the whole Bria. That's it. We raise our voice when we daven. The fact that we have shuls, they should be a place. He's kapsu. They should get together. That the Russian created us and brought us forth. And we will then publicize this to others. The Russian, you created us. Okay. So that's it. That's the whole tefillah is an expression of this whole purpose. That to come, every morning a person comes to the shul, what he's doing is saying, Bresham, I believe in you. I know that you created the world. I know that you created me. And I know that you're the source of everything. These are lessons you see that I've taught me. I believe in them. I know them. I'm here to proclaim them and to thank you. That's what davening is supposed to look like. According to Rabban. Then he said, "Nisim gedolim before some of the moedim nisim and istorim." You say, "Misad rekula." Now, once you recognize Yisrael Mitzrayim, that the Bereshit has total control over there, it means the Bereshit has control over everything. That you realize everything is an ace. Shein lo adam mechelim b'taras Moshe Rabbeinu. We have no connection at all to the Torah. A chenamin b'chol di b'reinu mikreinu shkul nisim ein b'hem tebem in hagosh aladam b'im rabbi ben yachin. Bereshit is there's nothing with it's nature. There's nothing as nature. The Bereshit runs the world. If you don't believe in that, you don't belong. You have no connection. That is what Torah is all about. That's what we're supposed to teach us. Not that there was once a time this wondrous situation. That this is an ongoing reality. The Bereshit was always taking in control. That is the point of the lesson. Okay. So that is, so Rabban takes this idea and just expands it to, you know, it's not an expansion really, it's obvious, that's his point, but he fleshes it out, that the goal is this full reality, to come to recognize the reality of the world. The reality was we, the Russian created us, know that. And then come and praise him and thank him for it. One point interesting thing, you know, we talk about Ikrei Emuna, but the Lashonah of the Pesukim are not Lashon of Emuna, they're Lashonah of Yediyah. Manteida, Midatem Keini Hashem, Manteida Keini Kimani B'chol Oretz, right, before Teida Shad Kimani B'chol Oretz, Manteida Keini Hashem, Keini Kimani, right, that Ani Hashem Bekarev Oretz, it's all Lashonah of Lashon of Yediyah. So Rav Chaim Brisker was one time, somebody asked him, like, why do we call them Emunah? They're Yediyahs. Right? Any person, Rav Chaim says that any person really, you look at the Bria, you see Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, so you're going to ask me that there's tremendously wise philosophers who couldn't figure it out. I said, yeah, because you may figure it out, there's responsibilities that come with it. I don't want the responsibilities. So the shaykhad prevents you from seeing it. But if I remove the shaykhad, there's a fascinating book which came out, OU put it out in the 80s. Then it was redone again a few years later in a different name. So it's called The Obvious Proof. The obvious proof is, you know, that you know the watchmaker. You walk through the desert. You find this watch, and you say, "Wow, look at that! Nice. Look at what happened! Like, you know, just the winds put together all these different pieces. You know, you think somebody made it, right?" Says so. Why don't we? So their argument was, why don't we all come to that conclusion? Because of the cognitive dissonance which is going to create in our minds. Because that creates, if we really believe Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and He owns the world, and He runs the world, so we have to follow everything that He says. We have no right to do it otherwise, but I don't want to do that. So I actually had a story. You know, part of the Discovery Weekend is this idea that, you know, the Torah is true. So I was in Dayton, Ohio, for a seed program. This is 1993. This fellow comes in, and he tells the following story. He said that he went to the Discovery Weekend, and he sees, you know, the arguments of the Torah is true, and though it means the Torah is true, he has to change his lifestyle. He has to become from, you know, Shomer Shabbos, mitzvahs, etc. He doesn't want to change his lifestyle, so he's been reading Bible criticism.
I'm sorry, what?
Bible criticism to prove the Torah is not true, right? Because this way he can go back to, you know, so. And he's been reading it, but he wants to be honest. Because it's true. I can't take the chances, right? So he wants to ask me some questions based on the Bible criticism, you know, that he's read. Are there answers to any of these questions? Then he tells me, he says, you know, one of his friends says to him, like, you know, like, don't do it. Like, what's the problem? He says, no, if it's true, I got to do it. I don't want it to be true. I don't want to do it. Right? But if it's true, I got to do it. Right? So, like, see, he was an honest person. So I said, okay, let's see what you got. You know, what the questions are. So the questions, you know, remember, this is a guy who's honestly saying that if it's true, I'm committing. There's a mitzvah of Yosef Yelzel, the author from the Vardik. Yosef Yelzel was a powerful personality, and there was once a maskil who came to him and says he wants to debate him. So Yosef says, I want to debate you on one condition. Here's the condition. He says, I don't mind just having fun. The world's too short. We live here too short just for fun. It's got to be real. We have a debate. You're right. I take off my yarmulke. I'm a chalal Shabbos on each rave. And if I'm right, you put on a yarmulke, you stop a chalal Shabbos, and you start keeping kosher. That's always it. I said, no, I'm not interested. I'm fine. I'm not interested either. Walked away. It's real. So here's this guy comes in. He's real. He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want, but he can't take a chance. So, okay, what's the first question? It says, you know, the Bible's written by two different authors. How do you prove it? First proof, because it says in the story of Noah and the flood, one time it says there were seven animals, one time it says there was two animals. I said, you know, there was a great commentator who asked this question. His name is Rashi. Now, the guy doesn't know anything. He says, when they lived, 1,000 years ago. He says, do you think the people who wrote this book knew about Rashi? He says, everybody knows about Rashi. So he says, so you mean to tell me that they're bringing a proof that's already been answered and they knew about it? I said, yeah. He says, that's not honest. I said, yeah, that's not honest. Said, that's right. It's not honest. The next question he asked me was this theory between the story of David and Goliath, how it's presented in Shmuel, and how it's presented in Dira Yaman. So he says, it's a good question. The Radak asked the question. He says, it's a great question. You know, so I show him the Radak, asks the question, and explains the difference. He says, it means all these questions are not there. I thought these guys came up with these great questions themselves. I said, no. It's all a game. The guy was devastated. Because his whole thing was, he's an honest person. And these guys, people weren't honest. So I can't tell you who came from Shabbos, and I don't know. But, you know, but Reb Chanan says that Batsami should see it. It should be, it's there. It screams. The world screams at your creation, a creator. Why don't we hear it? So it came along this book. I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. If I can create a situation where committing the idea of a creator creates no responsibilities, would you agree that that's true? How's that possible? He says, well, we're going to do a social experiment. Says there was a social experiment. There's a movie called 2001: The Space Odyssey. And in that movie, which I never saw, they have a few scenes where I don't remember the details of the movie. Basically, they come upon this scene on this planet where they see this monolith, and they say, "Oh, there must be intelligent life here, which made this." And it says, they read through every single criticism of the movie, and nobody challenged that premise in the movie. Yeah, because we intuit that you see something of that type of shape. Must be somebody made it. Now, over there, admitting that somebody made it, seeing something of that level of intelligence, assumes that there's a creator, doesn't make you have to do anything, because there's a movie. But here we are all agreeing that when you see something of that level of complexity, you agree that there's a creator, because it has no responsibilities upon you. Now we've made our social experiment, which went through millions of people in America. Everybody agreed to that. Nobody said no. Aha. That's their point. So the name of the book was called 2001: Space Odyssey. That's on the cover. I thought, what is doing yeshiva? I picked it up. It's a fascinating thought process. Then he starts talking about the complexity of the eye, and it was a great. They redid the book called Obvious Proof, because like nowadays, like whoever heard the movie. So they redid it with a new name. But that's their point. That it's totally there. Terrence says, "What it creates responsibilities? We don't want the responsibilities." So the Torah is all about the responsibilities. It's okay, Bershom, fine. You learn the lessons. What is it? What do I expect from you? What is the purpose? What do I want from you? I mean, I have a right to say, if I created the world, I have a right to say, there's a reason why I created the world. You have to find that out. You have to figure it out. You can't walk away from it. That's why there's no way you cannot connect, you see, the time to Matan Torah. It's impossible. That you can, because it doesn't mean, you can't stop now. So the Yerushalmi says that, you know, that halacha, that you can't interrupt between the third and fourth cup, is because it's connected to four lashonos of Geula. So, one of the first ones is you've left Mitzrayim. I can't leave you after Geula without lakat yischem liloam. I can't interrupt with that. There can't be any daylight between those two thoughts. Now that you were nigel from Mitzrayim, you went through that whole process. I'm going to take you as a nation. You can't interrupt between the two. Okay. Now, what's fascinating? Rebbe Meir points out. Rebbe Meir's yahrzeit was today, you know, not tonight, but you know, Chav Ches Teves. So he quotes Ramban very briefly. And he has a question on the Rambani. He brings an interesting point. I'm Rambani, should be the word of the Irish, called Seder Amakas, Bolo Chiecha, Prote Emuna, Shetzichim, Lahavchin, Lahakar, Yere, Al Yodam, Es Hashem, B'Briya. These are lessons that we needed to learn about a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Briya, and that's what the Amakas are for. Behemah, Metzias Hashem, which says, Apostle Kini Hashem. That was Yudzayin. Aktus. There's nothing else, nothing like Hashem, which means he's miyuchad, he's unique. Hashogaz abare kini Hashem bekarav oritz shilas hashita banhogaz arlam b'vort teda kein kimoni b'kol oritz. Nobody else has any power. Nothing like Hashem b'orachu. Hey, kalvishem nimsra b'chira l'vnei adam b'chol zeis emes emuna chaykol yaver ki or yanatzech zechayshuch. He called Nikra the Shmuel Chodim Rossi. Then Yirah 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 Chasu Yomim. But Kila Hashem Oretz. The world belongs to me, Bershon says, which means at the end of the day, what I want for the world is going to happen. The or will overcome Chesha. Not today, not tomorrow. Maybe might take a long time, but it's my land. Bershon says, I created for my purposes. It's going to happen. Havdola Ben Yisrael Amim Laman Teidun Asher Yafal Hashem Ben Mitzrayim Laben Yisrael. So, we by Yam Suf, the Rosh says, why am I doing this? Because Mitzrayim should know. We don't necessarily have to know how each Makkah taught what specific lesson. They got it. Now, actually, we're going to go through how some of the Makkos teach specific points. That's what I want to try and do, but I could get to tonight. El Yesh Tavar, the Lomali calls that, Mimah Hashem Darish, Lachiyach Es Parai, Es Kol Mitzrayim, Lomal Lo Hayadai Maspik, like Bekaris Am Yisrael. Why don't you have to teach Mitzrayim this lesson? Just teach Klal Yisrael a lesson. Like, who cares what the Mitzrayim figure out? Rav Chassid Lavishnei points out, it says, you know, they died. Mitzrayim died by Yam Suf. So how long did this Hakara last? For a few moments. They're going to go into the Yam, they're going to see what I'm going to do about the Yam, and I'm going to destroy them, and they're going to realize I'm Hashem. And they're going to die. Like, that's it. You know, that was the last, they're going to figure it out. 3 seconds later, they're gone. But you see, the Rosh Hashanah said it was worth it for him that the Mitzrayim should come to this recognition, even though they're only going to get known for 3 seconds. That's how important it is. So why? Why is it so important? So he suggests near Shatam of Nesha Kishahoyat Sorach, Lahabi or Kodesh Shalan Hagas Shema Vaya Bailam, Mashal Yunira Ajasitraim. Till now, the Rashi beginning the Parsha points out, Havaya means the Bereshit is the total source of everything. He's the total, everything comes from him. There's nothing else but him. That's Havaya. Elohim is Bereshit, is a control, he's powerful, etc. Havaya is a whole new understanding that everything is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's. That lesson can't be limited to Klal Yisrael. Even in the side of Tuma, they were the major representatives of Tuma. They were the main nation at the time. Okay. So if the purpose is to bring into the world this whole new understanding of the concept of the Havaya, which in the Bereshit was the source of everything, if there's somebody well, they're screaming, no, it's not true, it's some way limiting that understanding. It's not enough that Klal Yisrael figures it out, the Mitzrayim say it's not true. The Mitzrayim also need to figure out that it's true. So that the whole world, that nothing in the world, nothing in the Bria sees himself anything other than just a cog in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. That's Havaya. That's what could happen when Mashiach comes. That's the true, what's right, that the whole world will know in Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the purpose of the Bria, to come to that moment. Right? And all of that, everything which seemed to be wrong, seemed to be bad, etc., all really was a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the show. That's what Purim is. Purim is not about the lost love, because Purim has that element that all that would seem to be Ra was really tight. There's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the breed. That's what's unique about that lesson. That not just in every human being's actions, which they have a Bechira, it's still a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the show. It's still only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lashem Oretz. Ra, it belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It still did what he wanted. It didn't do anything other than what he wanted. So there's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Zedem Ramay Marasina. Why is the mitzvah of Anoichi Asher Sichem Yitzchayim? Well, I'm Asher Brosh Yishmayim Boretz. Which all the Rishonim ask the question: why do you say Asher Brosh Yishmayim Boretz? That's a greater statement about Kadosh Baruch Hu. The whole world is than just Tzitz Mitzrayim. That's one event which took place in one area. The Baruch Hu created the whole world, the whole universe. Right? Isn't that a much a greater statement than Kadosh Baruch Hu? Torah is the vehicle which allows us to see a Havaya of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That everything is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak Mitzrayim was that vehicle. Bria Shemayim Oretz, we didn't get it from that. Avraham Avinu, the Ovis did not have that Hanhaga. That Hanhaga of total, everything is but a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, and every element of the Ra is also his. And there's nothing else but him. Yitzchak Mitzrayim is a vehicle for that. So that is Rebbe Meir's point in this Ramban. Now, I'm not going to start now. Maybe next week I'd like to go through some of the points over here. So we have in the packet there's a Malbim which divides up the Makas into three groups: the Sakhadash Bechav, right? He says that there are the different points of the lessons which are taught through each one of them. I cut some of it out. Like, this is not all the pages, but they're just there's so much there, but it's gorgeous. If you're inclined to go through it, it reads. So the Ma'alev of this version of the Malbim, was originally printed, but it wasn't printed in the Chumash. It was printed as a separate sefer. Mm-hmm. So it's like you don't have the Pesukim in front of you. But the Ma'alev is, once you're familiar with the Pesukim, it just reads. You don't have to keep going, turning a lot of pages. It just reads. Because he makes it like a long thought. Mm-hmm. Then there's a piece from Rav Hirsch, which again works with the Sakhadash Bechav in his way. And then there's a piece from the Maral, who deals with the Sakhadash Bechav in his way. So Beshem, next week we'll look at those three different sets. Now, I actually had in the plan to do that's the morale in Chumash. There's a morale in Gevurah Hashem, which has, instead of having only using the Tzachadash Bechav, he also uses the idea that there was the Haggadah says that Chazaka Shtayim, Zanatuya Shtayim, each one is Shtayim, so it means the repairs of Makas. There's five pairs. He goes through them. What are the five pairs? The first five and the second five are pairs. Mm-hmm. He explains it like that. It says, or we can look at the Makas as a set of ten. What are the elements of ten? Because the Makas is five and five. You know, he says, there's a way to look at the Makas, the numbers, and each one, what the units are doing. He does all of that. He brings Chazal, did that, and he says he's going to do that too. And then there's a piece from the Keda about the lessons from the Makas, how the Makas teaches different points of Amunah. So we're not going to get through everything over there, but there's, you know, at least we can try some of it.